You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
A nooner is when you have sex on your lunch break. A niner is when you beat off on your drive to work in the morning.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Dice World Studios in San Antonio, Texas, this is The Social Hour. On today's show, comedians Wally Milligan and Bill Williams. And now your host. Now that they've officially announced there is no Epstein client list, he can finally rest easy tonight. Dees Casillas.
I'm Olive Geen, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. I am Dees. Welcome. Thanks for joining us for another week. We appreciate you guys hanging out. If you like what you hear, as usual, tell a friend. Rank us on your favorite podcast listening apparatus, wherever you listen to your finer podcasts and even your shittier ones. Give us an old five-star rating or whatever they're doing there now, and let a pal know. Share, like, review, all that good stuff. And as you guys know now that hang around weekly, we are now part of the Madness Entertainment Network, so you can find our live, or not the live, but the video version streaming on YouTube, Rumble, Red Pill, Twitter Live, maybe Grindr. I don't know. We're all over the place. So check it out. They got lots of great shows, lots of entertainment. Content they are putting out every single week. So follow them on Facebook, Instagram, all that, and check out all the shows coming from the network, guys. As for me, go to deescomedy.com, check out everything going on across the network. We've got some live shows coming up. I will be at Silver Spoons in New Braunfels headlining this Thursday. Then I will be at Bourbon and Branch in Spring Branch, Texas on the 16th, Artisan in San Antonio on the 26th, and Remedy in Comfort, Texas on the 30th. And then I'll be all through the North Pacific Northwest in August. So check out the calendar on the website. Tickets are moving fast for some of those shows. Yakima, Pasco, Wenatchee, Spokane, Seattle, Tacoma, Oak Harbor, Renton, and other shittier places in Washington. Go check it out. I'll be around. And as for the comic book, Kill Stan number 3 is coming soon. You can follow on Inferno.Earth, the Instagram page. We have the Kickstarter launching in about a week for number 3. We have some early bird specials to pre-order on our website, and go check all that out. And I will be at the Odessa Geek Fest this weekend, the 12th and 13th, slanging copies number 1 and number 2, and Frisco, Texas, August 2nd, with the comic and card show, the Mexicon in Dallas on the 9th, and Powerhouse Convention in Tri-Cities, Washington, the 16th and 17th of August, and more. So, guys, lots going on, and I'm busy. But we're here for you this week, and we got a treat. We're going to do something fun. You know, as you know, the last couple years, this show took a turn, you know, just because of the what did we do? COVID. That's what happened. COVID kind of derailed studio shows for a while. And then I moved to a place where I didn't really know anyone. And so now we're trying to get back to having people in the, as much as we can, kind of in studio virtually, other comedians on, and having some fun shooting the shit. So we are doing that today with two great San Antonio comedians. So please welcome Wally Milligan and Bill Williams. Bill, there you are. What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, good.
All right.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, welcome to the show. Bill and Wally are two comedians in San Antonio. I think, if I remember correctly, Bill's been doing comedy for about a year, coming up on a year. And Wally,
just over a year.
How long have you been at it now?
3 years.
3 years, right on. You guys both started in San Antonio, right?
Correct. I did, yeah.
What is it like now? Like, I guess, Wally, you're a little farther in. 3 years in, you've been around a little bit. Comparing San Antonio to other places and starting to see a little bit of a bigger picture of comedy and what it looks like, you know?
Yeah, I'm starting to branch out more and more, you know, perform in other places. And then in Texas, there's a lot of small towns, so I usually do mainly small towns. And so it's like, all right, well, I can't really compare a town of 3,000 people where they, you know, it's just a show that we did at a bar, one off field, to a city. But like going to Dallas or Houston or someplace, and then it's like, oh my gosh, it's like they have the same number of good comics, but it's like everybody's new. And so it's exciting because you get that like, oh, hey, I'm not used to seeing this good of a comedian at this level that I don't already know most of their material.
Right.
So it is kind of cool. But yeah, you do. If you spend a little bit of time around different scenes, you'll start to be like, oh, they've got the same A tier, B tier that we do. And you're sort of like, oh, that's this city so-and-so. Oh, we got a guy just like that over here. Yeah. You're like, oh yeah, that's the guy that we ignore. Especially I was in Vegas last January and I was running a mic for Steve McKinley. I was hosting it. And he was like giving me the lowdown on who's who before I'm bringing them up with the previous comics on stage. That way I kind of know as the host what I'm getting into. And he's like, oh, this guy's so-and-so. I was like, oh, we got one of those.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. You just realize that it's like, it's just scale, you know? It just scales up or down depending on the size of the city and relative comparison, you know? So like in a small scene, you're going to have like one sociopath psycho that ruins everything. In a larger scene that's 10 times bigger, you're going to have 10 of those, you know?
Yeah. And then you spend a little more time around people and then you're like, oh, y'all have the same high school mentality that a lot of the comics in San Antonio does. y'all were just holding it in until you were comfortable with me. And now you're like, now that I know you're cool, that guy, I'm like, I'm not involved with all that, man. I'm here to tell jokes. I don't get involved with that when I know the people. I'm not going to bother being like, oh, wait, what does this stranger do?
Yeah. Yeah. It's very high school. Everyone's got it's like this famine mentality where everyone feels like if someone's doing something, it's taking away from them doing it. And if, you know, if that's your point of view, then, man, you're probably not working hard enough.
Yeah. And then Bill and I, we actually had a comedy class today. We're taking the same class. Steve Trevino's teaching it. And he was like, yeah, you get that in all these smaller scenes. He's like, you get the people who are like, no, I'm the guy the club calls first, so I can't let anybody else do good in front of this club because then I'm going to lose that. And it's like, dude, you can't open for everybody.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's better when it's a community rather than a competition.
Right. Well, it's better, you know, rising tides lift all ships and all that cliche bullshit.
But yeah.
It's true. So, Yeah, I mean, San Antonio is an interesting scene, I think, unique in ways. But, Bill, what's your experience of doing comedy a year in? You still want to – you haven't decided to kill yourself yet. You're still doing it. So you're – you know, that's something. Well, maybe you have. I don't know your plans after the show tonight. So I don't want to – spoiler alert. By the time you hear this, Bill has hung himself, autoerotic asphyxiation. He's wrapped in an American flag gi.
I was going to kill myself, but I don't want to cancel day of on the podcast. That's just rude.
Yeah, yeah. I'll wait till after.
Yeah, I have decided I'm too much of a pussy to commit. And I'll probably just come back in 3 days, so no big deal.
There you go.
But yeah, I mean, I love it here. I think, I don't have anywhere else to compare it to, so I've only done San Antonio. I've done a couple things in Austin and New Braunfels. I did that Silver Spoon last Thursday, and a couple things in Corpus, but mostly just San Antonio, and I love it. I mean, a lot is happening. Like, even in the short time that I've been here, it's grown a lot. Like, there's a lot more mics already.
Yeah,
you could do eight to 12 mics a week if you want to.
Yeah.
And so it's good. Yeah, I mean, I like it. Everybody seems supportive, and it's like you said, I mean, people trying to compete with the people on our level, but like where I'm at, I mean, I'm at such a low level. It's like they said in the class today too, it's like nobody cares about us right now. We're just trying to get better, and like our competition is, you know, people way higher than us that people care about. So
yeah
yeah.
Well, I mean, it's really just kind of just grinding it out and climbing, you know. There's no A to B path. There's no exact path. There's no structured path for comedy. I mean, it really does, at the end of the day, look different for everyone. I mean, there are steps, like incremental steps that everyone kind of takes in a way, but it's a weird choose your own adventure book too.
Yeah, true, for yeah. sure.
So it's, but yeah, it's San Antonio. I found that San Antonio is like an interesting place to do comedy, not even just as far as like other comedians, but the audiences, because it's a really interesting like dynamic of people. Because, you know, there's like I had a buddy of mine. I helped him put together a show down here. He's like third chair on Louder with Crowder, right? Which is like a pretty conservative show. But he can move tickets because he has the platform to, like promo his events, his upcoming shows. It's a big platform, and the show did like okay. And he was like, I don't know, man. He goes, I thought I'd do better down here. He goes, you got a lot of Mexicans, like Latinos here. Aren't the Latinos usually conservative? I'm like, yeah, yeah. They have like conservative values. But also, we don't have Latinos in San Antonio so much as we have Mexicans. Like these are people who don't speak English. These are people who don't. Like, they're not watching Louder with Crowder. Like, they're fucking, like, they're watching Destinos with their abuela and fucking, you know, it's a different type. Like, you're thinking Hispanics, you're thinking Latinos, you're thinking, you know, Chicanos, not fucking people who probably don't have car and, you know, drive very safely because if they get in a wreck, they, you know, they have no car insurance because they've got no green card, you know? It's right, like, it's right. A different type of Latino that you're thinking
yeah,
of.
Yeah, very different.
Yeah, San Antonio audiences, there's two types of people in San Antonio. There's military people who are stationed here, so we got like a million military bases. And then you got people who are like, hey, this is a nice place to settle down. Like, right. Those are the only two groups of people in San Antonio.
Yeah.
And trying to get settled down people, be like, hey, I know you got like three kids and everything, but you want to come see some local people? You want to come see your plumber and your guy who does your brakes and your accountant tell jokes? And you'd be like, no.
Yeah.
Like, I'll pay those people for that stuff they're good at. I'm not going to come see them do comedy. And so it's just like pulling teeth. But yeah, and so it's like I've done a handful of shows in Dallas-Fort Worth, and I've been doing shows regularly in San Antonio for 3 years. I think I've sold as many tickets in Dallas-Fort Worth as I have in San Antonio.
Yeah, it's wow. Just San Antonio, for such a big city, it's like pretty blue collar. Also, though, I found that like the nightlife scene is interesting in San Antonio. There's not like a middle level, you know. There's either like high end wine bars, and then there's like, hey, this place has dollar dollar beer night and girls in bikinis who all have herpes, and like that's like that's there's like it's like every bar is like a weird shitty version of Hooters, kind of, you know. Like I can't, it's so it, like when I was first moved here and was looking for venues, I'd go to like what was called like a sports bar, and I'm like, oh, this is not like no
TVs yeah. in this bar.
Yeah, this is like, what sport? Yeah,
there's a soccer poster in the corner. Yeah, there's a sports bar.
The sport is trying not to get an STD that night. For like, you know, it's like, and you can get one from the girls, from the drinking out of the glasses, from eating their fucking chicken wings. Like, there's just a million different ways to get Hep C there. So. Yeah, it's just like a weird, there's not like just like middle of the road places, a lot of middle of the road places in San Antonio, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that makes sense. It's the people from out of town who want to settle here. They're looking for all the fancy places, and the people from here just want to drink and listen to music.
Yeah. Yep. It's a strange dynamic. Although it doesn't help that I'm like 40 and don't drink and don't go out. So like my nightlife,
yeah.
I have no fucking clue what people are doing, you know? But I mean, I went around, I went to places, and I'm like, ah, this is, you know, or every place is like outdoors. It's just like a patio with like you know, like somebody bought bought a parking lot and put up a patio
with a garage.
Yeah, and you're like, hey, just get drunk here. This is fine, you know.
Yeah, like the weather's nice here. Like it's nice to sit outside here.
Right. It makes sense, but it's it doesn't. It's not helpful when you want to like put on entertainment, you know. So
yeah.
But so that's San Antonio, guys. So anyway, well, let's talk about some stuff. We got a lot of stuff going on. I feel like it's been a busy. Does it feel like every week is a busy week now? I don't know how much. So here's the deal. Like, I don't know how much you guys are into like the news and what's going on, but. I I'm at an age where I have to fight with my uncles about it because it's just like it is, you know. I don't even know if we fight about it. I'm so I don't give a shit, but also it's like some of it's so captivating to me because it's like I'm still somehow blown away at people's stupidity, you know. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have that where you're like, are you people still like buying this? Are you still like so invested in this?
Yeah, it's the old Mark Twain quote: if you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. If you read the newspaper, you're misinformed.
Right.
So yeah, and then because everyone's trying to get everyone to click on everything, and so it's like, hey, are we gonna have a rational discussion with someone we disagree with? No, but I found a crazy guy who's the exact far opposite of me, and we're gonna put him in front of a camera and we're gonna act like this is every single person that disagrees with me.
Right.
And if you disagree with me in the slightest detail, we're gonna call you this guy.
Yeah, you're,
and it's
you're
like,
a...
why are we like, this dude needs meds. Don't put him in front of a camera. Find a rational human being who has a different opinion than you.
Yeah, and like, you know, as soon as you disagree with someone, you're also a Nazi. So, yeah. Which is like, we've trotted.
Or a commie.
Yeah, Nazi or a commie. And like, I feel like we've trotted those things out too much now where they've like lost their stank, you know? Like it used to, you know, if you really had to push to go pretty far to get called like a Nazi back in the day. And now that's thrown around pretty loosely, you know. Like you could be like, you know, like you could watch Joe Biden losing his faculties on television and be like, you know, man, I don't know, maybe he's just not the guy we should roll with for the next 4 years. And people would be like, are you some sort of Nazi? Yeah. Like, no, I'm just saying that maybe I'm just saying he's an old guy. He has the right to be a little out of it. He's fucking, you know, he's the fucking Emperor Palpatine age, basically. He's fucking, he's so old, you know. It's like, it's obviously wearing on him. But you even insinuate that, and all of a sudden you're like, you hate America or whatever.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh, well, Joe did this. Well, Trump did that. Okay, well, they're both assholes. You'll never find me defending a politician. Let me put that up front.
Yeah.
At no point have I been like, you know what? This politician, no, they're all assholes. It's just right now we're talking about this asshole. We'll talk about that asshole in 5 minutes. But right now, let's finish this conversation before we start a new one.
That is my favorite thing when I engage with people, is that I like, it's always an asymmetrical conversation because like I have liberal views on things, I have conservative views on things. I don't adhere to either political party 100% by any means. If anything, I consider myself very libertarian. Just kind of look at things.
Nazi.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Otherwise known as a Nazi in America.
Well, I think he's a commie. So.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's so funny because I'll start saying something about whether Trump or Biden or whatever side. And like someone starts going like, well, yeah, but what about, I'm like, no, I'll get to the other one. Like, trust me, I'm not letting them off the hook in this case either. You know, like I always said, like, if someone's running for a public office, I think they have a personality disorder already. So
true, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, who wants that job? That seems like a horrible job. Like, who wants that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the people. it's like sociopaths already. Like, I always said, it's like, you know, like the guy who wants to become a Boy Scout leader should be the last person to be a Boy Scout leader,
right,
you know?
Right.
Like, dude, you want to spend every Sunday up on Mount Shasta with a bunch of fucking retarded 7-year-olds? No, you want to be watching you want to be watching the Cowboys play, but you know, you're like, that's what a normal dude wants to do. But you're like, oh, maybe I get some alone time with Timmy.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's
it's all those positions of powers. Like, I mean, probably this is nobody wants to hear this, but I think like even cops, like who wants to do that job?
Right.
Like, who wants to run around and handcuff people who break the rules? Like, that just all seems like a power grab.
Well, it's like, here's the thing. It's like a double-edged sword, because it's like a thankless job if you're actually doing it altruistically, and it's such an easy job to also abuse, you know,
right,
because of like qualified immunity and so many other things, you know. So it's, you're kind of fucked either way, which is so hard, because you know, like, sorry, defund the police people, but you know, I don't know if you've been to downtown Seattle recently. The fucking Chop Chaz district didn't work. You need police. You know, you need police in some form or fashion, but like, you do need some oversight in it too. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's one of those things where, you know, it's like not, it's not binary. Like, it's not one or the other. Like, there's some middle ground where we have to be like, yeah, like, we do need some sort of regulation, but also we need some sort of oversight. I think the biggest problem is like human nature though, because as soon as anyone gets like a modicum of power, they eventually, like, I always say everyone always becomes the man, you know? Like, if you get enough juice, you will eventually become the man, like the thing you hate, you know, everyone. If you get that power, you will find it. It'll go to your head and people start to abuse it.
Well, the thing that I always want to bring up whenever like people are talking about it, I'm like, I get that cops are like, we got to defend our own. It's a tough job. And I'm not saying it's not a tough job. I'm not saying, but every now, just one time, I want it to be like, oh, here we have the clear footage of the cop shooting the unarmed black man completely needlessly. Just cops, just come out in that situation and be like, hey, it's a tough job, but that guy's an asshole.
Right.
Like,
right,
just do that one time and you will get so much goodwill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough, that's, that's the thing where I think it's like, it's still like a good old boys club.
Us versus them thing. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we're like, I think there's a lot of pressure in internally where if you kind of break from the ranks, it really can like crumble fast, right? Like the facade can crumble.
You get that invisible check mark next to your name.
Yeah. You know, I mean, listen, I grew up in the 80s in South Central LA during the height of the Rampart District and, you know, gang violence, police brutality, you know, the Rodney King thing, the riots and all that shit. I mean, my neighborhood was on fire when I was a kid, you know, and it's like, I saw it, I experienced it, and it's, so I have like I definitely have some opinions on it, but it's like, it is a crazy high stakes job. That like, we just need to vet people a little more. Probably check in with like, hey buddy, you know, how you doing, Mister, you know, guy who has a gun on his hip all day and you know has to deal with like, you know, seeing some of the worst things in society all day, and you know, probably make sure these people are mentally okay as they roll through their lives a little bit, you know. No, yeah, it's crazy. But I did want to the one thing I definitely want to.
This is way deeper than the stuff I have on my list.
That's okay. I've got some definitely a light thing too. The one thing I did want to talk about, just because I thought this was hilarious, right? is so I brought the news because like one of the big things this last week was like this new spending bill that the Senate passed. Mm-hmm. You guys hear about this? I'm sure like the big beautiful bill.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I mean,
they're not that big, Bill.
What's that? Yeah, the
big, what's that? So he's not that big.
Despite Trump's many scruples, I do love his like showmanship. You know, he's like a carnival barker from the 1920s.
Yeah. He's good at it.
It doesn't make for a great leader or president, but it does have an entertainment factor that's so funny to me. That he would call like a big beautiful bill. But so this big, beautiful bill raised the debt ceiling, did a lot of crazy things. And I hear a lot of people talking about the, you know, what it's going to do to our debt and like our deficit. Right. So do either of you guys know what our deficit, national deficit was before this bill?
No.
At least 20 trillion.
Do you want to take Bill, you want to take a guess?
I would say like 100 trillion.
100 trillion. All right. Well, Wally's going to win because he didn't overbid. Bill, really, wow, 100 trillion. I think we'll
come
get
on
the,
down. All
yeah,
right.
We were at approximately $36 trillion was our deficit, which I just want to put this into like perspective for you guys because I think this is really fun. Because I think people are very disconnected from what like a trillion is, you know.
Yeah, nobody
like,
knows.
Yeah, it's a wild number, right? Like you might as well say a bazillion jillion. It does just right. Like not. It's not a real number. So here's to give you guys context how big a trillion is. So like a million, right? We can figure $1 million. You figure out like a million. You probably met a millionaire in your life. Let's say a million seconds. A million seconds was 11 days, 13 hours, and, you know, almost 47 minutes ago, okay? So less than 12 days was a million seconds. A billion seconds, you jump to a billion seconds was 1993. So damn. We've got a big jump there.
That's my entire life right
there. Yeah, there you go.
we get it. You're young.
Depends on who you ask.
Yeah. Now we're going to go to a trillion seconds. A trillion seconds was 32,000 years ago. So
wow. That, Bill's life.
That yeah, Bill. Yeah, so Bill, yeah.
This is before Christ.
So that was way in like before. The middle of the Ice Age, right? Now, if you want to talk about 36 trillion seconds, that was over a million years ago.
Wow.
So if that gives you any idea of the difference between like a million, a billion, and a trillion, how big those numbers jump, you know?
That's
insane. So. And 20 years ago, our national deficit was around $5 trillion. And we, in 20 years, we've skyrocketed over $30 trillion. And which is, Dane, that's bad. That's very crazy, you know? Because, like, here's the thing. I also have always said, like, I would gladly pay double in taxes if I thought any of it went to something worth a shit, right? But, like, yeah. We have done nothing of note in that 20 years. Like we didn't even do another 9/11. Like, we didn't even do anything cool, right? Like, we haven't done anything. You know, all the countries we've toppled were shitty ones nobody wants anyway. Like what are we going to do with Yemen? Ugh, right? So, this new bill gives us a debt ceiling of like $39 million. And I saw a lot of people really, really upset about this and like complaining. And here's the thing. Here's where we're going to get into this weird asymmetrical political conversation. Is that like people were like, you know, mad and blaming this on Trump. And I'm like, all right, yeah. Like, it's Trump's big, beautiful bill. We shouldn't be spending this. It is bad. But also I'm like, where the fuck have you guys been the last 20 years complaining about? Like, we jumped $30 trillion in 20 years and nobody said a peep. And I'm like, I just love the idea of someone being like, listen, $36 trillion. No big deal. But $39 trillion, like now we're talking. That might be too much, you know. It's like that. It's like what?
It's like an extra 9%. Come on, guys.
Yeah. It's like what are? That's the point where we want to get upset and we're mad about it. It's like I just wish these same people would bring that same energy to that fight the last 20 years also, and maybe we wouldn't have ended up at this point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, they did, just on and off for 4 to 8 year shifts.
Yeah, exactly. Depending on who. Well, that's
like, hey, this wasn't a problem the last 4 years. The 4 years before that, it was a problem. And the 8 years before that, everything was fine.
Yeah, Well, and that's exactly it. And some guy tried to argue with me, and he's like, listen, he goes, those people have been voting for people who continually want to lower the deficit. I'm like, here's a fun fact. In those 20 years, 16 of those years, we had Democratic presidents. Okay. Or, no, sorry. 12 years. So I'm like, of those 20 years, 10 million of that is from Obama. 5 million of that is from Biden. So literally almost exactly half is from the Democratic Party, half from the Republican Party. It seems like a pretty equal fuckery that we've had, like, causing this problem here, you know?
Yeah, because people pick they pick political parties the same way they pick football teams. They're like, all right, this is the one my dad talked to me about when I was four, or I hate my dad, and this is the one he talked to me about when I was four, so I'm going to go and join the other team. And then it's like, hey, my team's in charge. Everything's fine, you guys, because we just got to keep my team in charge. And once we completely eliminate the other teams, then we can discuss the internal problems.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's just enabling with extra steps.
Right. Yeah.
It really is. Like, it really does seem like sports fanaticism. Like, it's just everybody picks their side, has their team, and no matter what. But yeah, they're both spending money. It's just whoever's in charge blames the other one, or whoever's not in charge blames the other one.
Yeah. It's
like whenever somebody's like favorite basketball player tackles somebody, they're like, that's not a foul. Right. I'm like, dude, if they did that to your guy, you would have to buy a new TV.
Yeah.
It's that same logic, mental gymnastics applied to, look, I realized that this guy was also putting children in cages, but it doesn't bother me because his tie was blue, but this guy's got a red tie or whatever, vice versa. I don't care. Yeah. I don't have a team, you guys. All right. I'm a free agent.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just floating in the middle being like, hey, you're all kind of crazy right now. yeah. It just is, you know, in, at this point, too, when you're talking about like $39 trillion, we've actually gotten to the point where the interest on our debt is costing us more than our debt actually is. So like it's extrapolating so fast that like we basically are like, you know, we're like dealing with loan sharks or like a cash checking place, you know, we're like, you know, you're like high, like a cash advance place, those places where you'd be like it will sign over your check you get in 2 weeks to us. We give you, you know, $150 and in 2 weeks you pay us a scant $890 and it's a fair trade.
Look, I know I got the 5,000. I got I actually have a family friend that used to be a bookie. And so I would hear like, but he was like high end, so he wasn't actually having to break people's kneecaps. But like, I would hear his half of the conversation, just like, yeah, no, you just give me $500. Like, I get it. You're $5,000. Just pay me $500, and I'll let you make next week's bets. And then like, that's what we're doing is we're like, all right, I got $500. I'm gonna put $10,000 on this, $2,000 on that. And it's like, dude. And honestly, like, it's getting to the point where, let's be honest, we're never gonna pay this money back. Can we just not collect taxes this year? Just everyone gets a 0% tax rate this year. Who cares? What's China gonna do? Stop selling us their stuff, and then they have a bunch of stuff they can't sell at their place? Come on.
Well, here's the thing that people don't realize either, because this is how how disconnected I think like Americans are from money and how it works. But they're like, oh yeah, it's just, the government just we'll just pay this off for like, you know, all these things, whether it's even not to say we shouldn't have things like, you know, Medicaid and like SNAP and all these things, these subsidy programs we have. A lot of them I'm definitely in favor of. But even like the all these things, everyone's like, oh, the government just pays for it. I'm like, no, you pay for it. I'm like, the government here. I don't know if you guys know this. I'm always telling you, like, the government doesn't make anything. Like, they don't produce anything that makes money. Like, here's how they make money. Here's how the government gets money. They A, tax us, which we pay for. They'll borrow money, which we will pay for also on the debt, on the interest, or they will print more money, which we also pay for in inflation. So, like, we pay for all of it. I don't know what people think when they're like, yeah, the government just takes her. I'm like, no, that's us. We're paying for all of that. Yeah. I don't know. We're fucked, and we should all just build a bunker.
Yeah. Well, at least Trump has merch. Like, maybe they could.
I got merch.
Yeah, I don't know. How many of those Bibles is he sold? Yeah. Is that going to the treasury? Or? Great news, guys. I sold so many Bibles. We don't owe China money.
Oh, man. That's so crazy, too, that like how all these political people claim to be religious. Like, I mean, clearly he's not. Like, when you see, like, the things he does and the way he acts in his life, but it's like, oh yeah, I'm Christian. Like, it's such
what are you talking about? I thought that was wasn't that like one of Peter's letters to the Romans, like, thou shalt grab them by the pussy or something? Yeah. Like, wasn't that in there?
Like, it's so crazy.
There, I don't know if you guys have seen, there's this great clip where I think it was before the election, sometime, it might have been while Trump was in office the first time, and he was slanging the Bibles, and some lady's like, do you have a favorite verse? He's like, yeah, I do. And he's like, she's like, do you want to share it? And he's like, no, I don't think. It's like, she's like, nothing. No. He's so like, good. I like it all. I like most. I like all of it. It's all really good. You know, it's great. The Bible's good. It's all
between me and Jesus. Don't insert yourself in this.
Just like, I can't really pick. You know, I kind of like them all.
Yeah, it's that. And that is the
Genesis 1:1. I mean, that's a great place to start.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. It's so funny because, like, on the same token, that's why, like, anytime someone's like screaming so hard from either the right or the left about something, I'm always like, God, I hope you're screaming that into a mirror at yourself also, because I guarantee you it applies. Because, like, every time, you know, so it's like all the Trump people who are like, or like all the people who talk about like Trump derangement syndrome, which is a thing. That's a real thing. But also on the other side, you have these people who are so blind and committed. Like, I mean, I know very fundamental Christian people who still back the guy. And I'm like, how do you rectify that in your head? Like, how do you rectify a guy? Like, even despite like the things he said or whatever, like, let's just take the things he's actually, we know he's done, you know, like paid a fucking porn star.
He has more felonies than Diddy. Diddy only had like what, two charges?
Yeah, Diddy got off, baby. Let him leave. Diddy was free.
He's off. I love Diddy.
Free Diddy.
I'm glad he's free.
Yeah, think about the celebratory freak off Diddy had when he.
Oh yeah, should have invested in Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah. So, Bill, did we lose you? Are you still there?
Oh yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, I just lost the video. Sorry. All right. Well, let's move on from this. Let's talk about something else. Wally, what are you
politics? We're all fucked. The debt's $20 billion. All right, Wally, you want to talk about the effects streaming services have on TV programs?
Oh, well, that's true. Yeah, streaming services and TV. Yeah, yeah.
So there's two things that I noticed. There's this Canadian sitcom called Letterkenny, and then they did a spinoff called Shoresy. It's the same dude, Jared Kiso. It's really good. It's well written. It's like, I don't watch stuff with subtitles, but because they're Canadian, I'm like, hang on, they've got the accent and then they're using Canadian slang. So I need to have the captions, pause it, Google what the fuck they just said. What does it mean? And you're like, this is hilarious. But it's very niche. It's not for everybody. if it was back in the day of broadcast television and they tried to be like, hey, here's a sitcom about life in rural Canada, they'd be like, no, we can't, that doesn't apply to at least 50% of Americans, so we're not going to put that on one of our three stations.
Yeah.
And so back then, it's like you had to be very mainstream to be able, mainstream appeal to be, have any type of success. Versus now, it's like, oh, there's 80 streaming services, and most of them are like, hey, I just need to say I have more hours of content than the other guy to justify people paying more. And so they'll throw money at something, and to them it's a throwaway. But then you've got somebody like me who's like, dude, this is hilarious. Like, I'll watch this show. Like, Shoresy, there's four seasons, there's six episodes. I'm pretty sure my girlfriend has watched that show at least 19 times all the way through. Right. And so, but it's because it's really good. And then it's like, well done. And so I think that, like I said, the first thing I want to talk about is the fact that it lets niche shows blossom. Like, I don't know if you guys ever watched Firefly back in the day. Firefly was amazing. If Firefly was on streaming, it never would have canceled. Because even if, you know, the whole rigmarole that it went through, Fox made it. They didn't like it. They didn't really roll it out well. And then they were like, oh, you can go negotiate with other people. Well, if, you know, they had 18 other options instead of two options to negotiate with, they might have been able to get it off the ground. And then that show has a very passionate cult following. And so it's like, man, somebody could have made all that money. All those people could have been happy with that. But because you only had three major stations, like, it wasn't enough. The executives didn't think enough of it. The other thing that I noticed, is the second point is 6 to 10 episodes is the most you need for a TV series. You do not need more than 10 episodes. Yeah. I don't care how good it is. It would have been better if it was only 10. Because back in the days of broadcast TV, you had to do 22, 23 seasons because there were an X number of months. It's like, hey, we're trying to fill 8 months worth of broadcasting. We need your show every week. And even Jerry Seinfeld, he talked about he and Larry David would sit down before every season. He goes, dude, the first 8 to 12 episodes, we had that completely written in like an hour. And then the next like 10 to 12, that took us like 6 fucking months to come up with.
Yeah.
And so part of the thing I was saying earlier is my girlfriend watches Shoresy on repeat. And like, I would watch it with her. It's like, dude, we watched this show 19 times. How did I never notice that? Because when you're only doing 3 to 5 hours of television for a comedy, you know, I don't think comedy should be more than 30 minutes for a TV show, and drama shouldn't be more than an hour. And so it's like, if you're doing the comedy, 3 to 5 hours is perfect. Everybody remembers everything. Boom, 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 boom. So you can focus and fine craft on all the details. Kind of like another one is Tires on Netflix. The first season only had 6 episodes. And spoiler alert, like, they think they're going to sell the company. Everyone thinks the company's going under because they're just hearing rumors. And so one of the managers, you keep seeing him call people. And if you pay attention in the background, like, first time, like, he's got his office set up. He's got like his wall decorations. The second one, like, a couple of wall decorations are down. They're leaning against the wall. Third time, he's got like a box. He's got some stuff in there. And so you're seeing his office slowly get packed up in the background. And it's stuff like that, that when you've only got that smaller time frame, you can kind of focus on all those details, and that increases rewatchability. And so it's like, dude, I'd rather rewatch the same 6 good episodes than be like, oh, fuck, dude, there's another 18 episodes this season.
Yeah.
Like, the last one kind of sucked. And, you know, maybe they're building to something good, but because they arbitrarily have to fill 8 months worth of broadcast time, they're just throwing stuff out there. Which there are shows like Scrubs where it's like, oh, this is zany, and a half the time it doesn't make sense anyway. So if we throw something that doesn't make sense, it fits. But some shows it doesn't. And then back to the drama thing. Sorry, I'm just dumping everything at once, and y'all can deal with this later. The other thing is, like, especially with the drama, like, they'll bring back a previous character. But because he was in season 3, episode 2, when they bring him back at the end of season 4, they've got to remind you who he was. Well, the problem is when they remind you who he is, they show you the important parts. So you got to be like, oh, well, if that's what I'm supposed to remember, that's probably important. And so it's like, dude, you're almost giving us all the information we need to spoil it at that point. But if, you know, he was here last season and that was only 6 episodes ago, I'll be like, that was the guy with the thing who shot the other guy. Oh, I remember that. And so it's like, you don't need the reminders, which then kind of clue you into what's going to happen next.
Yeah, I mean, it's content has changed so much. I mean, it's like Bill and I are about the same age. The I mean, I don't know if Bill, I don't know if you remember, but like, I remember a time when Fox didn't exist, right? Like, you know, like it was just NBC, ABC, and CBS. Like there weren't other channels, right? And then like Fox came around, you're like, oh, wow, what's this newfangled thing? And content has changed so much in the way they produce it. Although it is funny, I do want to say, I read this article recently where the Netflix executive said that they're actually, there's like a mandate when they're writing shows to make them dumber because they want to make it so people who aren't paying attention, because they say there's a thing called like second screens. Like so many people are watching, have shows on while they're on their phone. It's like, we want this show to be so simple that an idiot who's fucking on TikTok can still understand what's happening. Like everything is so spelled out. So it's strange because you have so much shit content like that, but also then these small boutique things that are like amazing, you know? And it's a weird gamut to run through of like, what of this is actually good and what is bad. I will say the six to 10 episodes is a sweet spot. Like having a finish line is so much better for a story. I mean, it's part of why I don't watch a lot of serialized shows, because they always lose the plot somewhere. Somewhere along the way, it just becomes, you get empty episodes because it's filler, because they have to fill a certain amount of episodes per season. There's some weird melodrama. And then eventually you just kind of lose. You're like, nah, fuck it. I don't care anymore. You know, whereas if you do like 8 episodes and you make every single one a banger, you're like, yeah, I can't wait for whatever you do next. You know?
Yeah. Like, could you imagine having to watch The Mandalorian for 25, 30 episodes a season? The number of people who would have dropped out by episode 13.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I made it through the first one, I think halfway through the second. I don't know if I watched the third or not. That one kind of lost me too. The first one was fine. And then after that, it kind of lost me too. But, you know, I also have a thing with like, everything is filmed in high definition and on a soundstage now, and it shows. So like when you have a show like The Mandalorian, it looks cheesy. Whereas like when you, back in the day when they did Star Wars, it was in Tunisia, you know, and with film, so you could hide the imperfections. Whereas like now you see The Mandalorian and you see his armor and you're like, oh, that looks fake because it looks too good. You know what I'm saying?
And it's clean.
Yeah. It's so shiny. And you can almost like see the rounded edges and like the little buttons that, you know, would look like, but like real in gritty film. You can see that they're fake, and it kind of makes you go, well, you know, and they're on like a sound stage in fucking Burbank, California, fucking filming some shit. And you're like, it kind of, that really bumps me from stuff, you know?
Yeah, and then Tires, another thing that's great about Tires is normally when you see the show, they work in an automotive store. And so one of the mechanics, like, he's always got oil stains all over his shirt. Like, the logos are faded on all their T-shirts. No two people show up to work wearing the same uniform the same way. They all got, like, a different undershirt. Somebody's got it untucked. And it's like, that's not something that you see, because normally when you see the show, like you said, everything's clean, perfect, everybody's hair is done perfect, all the women have their makeup done perfect. But you watch that show and you're like, oh, this dude's sitting here, been talking for 10 minutes, he's got the little alfalfa spike going on, which we've all been there. Your boss is trying to tell you something important, you're like, dude, you got a booger and you look like you're waiting on your friend to come pick you up on his bicycle. Like, I can't take you seriously right now. You need to blow your nose, wet your hair, and then we can come back to this. Then we can talk about my performance the past 6 weeks.
Bill, what are you watching?
What do I watch? I mean I'm a big Seinfeld fan, so I keep that on loop on Netflix. But I mean, it's kind of like you said, like, where people want stuff so dumbed down. I'm not that Seinfeld was, but I see where they're going, because that's my background noise. Like, I keep it on all the time.
Yeah
Yeah. But I mean, I love it still.
It's no, Seinfeld's great. I mean, it's a little easier with like comedies, especially older ones, some older ones, or even, you know, stuff like, I don't know, like Seinfeld, Parks and Rec, The Office. I mean, like I said, Scrubs was one, like things like that. There was like pretty good stuff that you can kind of play in the background. You can kind of drift in and out of it, though. It's not like not like a serialized show where you have to pay attention. You can kind of drift in and out and just catch jokes. They become little vignettes, so it's easy, you know.
But also, I've seen it so many times that like I just got to hear a clip and I already know the whole episode.
Right.
But like new stuff, like because I got YouTube TV, so I like to watch. Love After Lockup. Have y'all seen that?
Damn, deep cuts. I don't know what that is. Yeah. I can guess with the context. I'm guessing I can take a guess at what it is.
It's all these guys coming out of prison, and then these ladies that have been riding them the whole time, expecting that everything's going to be happy and lovey when they get out. But every single one of these convicts comes out and has so many options, like all these other girlfriends and all these. I'm like, damn, like, do I need to get locked up? Like, what the hell? But yeah, they're all players. They all got chicks on the side. It's awful. The girls are terrible.
Well, yeah, it's almost impossible to get caught cheating. You'd have to schedule two conjugal visits in the same day.
Yeah.
It's your own fault at that point, you know? I mean, listen, even Manson got married in prison. If Manson can get a girl and you can't, guys, you got to fucking get your shit together. You know?
Gotta get my shit together. That one and Love on the Spectrum, that one's funny. That one's on Netflix.
That one's hilarious. I cannot watch that show because, like, I actually kind of feel like those people are being taken advantage of. Like, I don't feel like sometimes I feel like it's not like they're getting laughed at, and it kind of makes me feel bad. Like, it doesn't, you know.
I still haven't seen Forrest Gump.
Yeah, well.
But it's like when you see the Down syndrome girls on Instagram, like with the fat asses and shit, it's like, do they know what they're doing? Like, this is kind of sad.
Yeah, so a lot, I think most of those are actually, they've found it, most of those are like girls, real, like normal girls using filters.
Oh, wow.
Which is even more fucked up, right?
So, yes, it is.
Because they get a ton of followers, and then there's these dudes like fucking, you know, simping over some girl that like, there's nothing wrong with that, I guess. But also, you know, maybe there is. I don't know.
Creating kinks.
Yeah. It's just
creating kinks for likes.
But the guys, you know, the guys are thinking like, oh, I probably have a shot. You know, she's a little off.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, again, guys in prison are getting laid. If you can't, you know, you gotta, if you're only going after girls because, you know, they have an extra chromosome, you're like, fuck, dude.
I seen some too where like it's this whole page of women who have scars on their face, but besides that, like, they're super hot.
Okay,
like, that's a whole thing too, like, what the hell. Crazy.
Yeah, I could see that. It's like Living Dangerously. You could easily play out the some sort of like bad girl spy role play in the
background. Well, I think what Bill's going for, it's like she's almost perfect, but she's got like that one flaw, and you're like, dude, if it wasn't for the facial scar, she's a 10, but she's like a 6.5, bro. I got a shot.
Yeah.
Like, it's that kind of mentality. Yeah, yeah.
That's also how you keep them around, you know, because you keep their self-esteem low because you're like, listen, no one's going to love you with that scar. Hey, try your hand out there, Scarwin. See how it goes out there. Fucking Tony Montana.
This is what it's like when you grow up getting life advice from a bookie. It's just shit like this.
Yeah. Listen, you got to know how to treat them, okay?
You got to go for the underdog, kid.
It is crazy that, like, it is almost crazy the shows they allow on TV now, though. They're like, Love on a, like, just imagine the person that pitched Love on the Spectrum, right? You know, I mean, because I've been in pitch meetings like that for like TV and radio and stuff, shit like that, where you're like pitching ideas for things, and like someone has to come in and be like, all right, so, you know, like, you know the show The Bachelor,
like autistic kids.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like that, but they can, you know, count all the toothpicks on the floor.
Yeah, like this is where we're at. And then Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz had to fight to get on I Love Lucy and be like, no, like Lucille Ball's pregnant. We're just going to say she's pregnant on the show. And like the executives were like, no, we're just going to say she got fat. We're just going to make fat jokes for the rest of the season. And they're like, no, she's pregnant. Like it's a family show. Families happen because of pregnancies. Like, hot tooth and nail, because it was like you can't even say pregnant, you can't show a pregnant woman, and now it's like, hey, can we show a pregnant woman selling her feet to autistic kids? Can we sell that?
Yeah, that's actually the thing that well, first of all, I gotta say this before I forget, there's another show that is the same type of show as Love on the Spectrum, but it's marketed much more like they named it poorly. It's called Down for Love, which it's like, I'm like, dude, you can't do that. Come on. Like at least Love on the Spectrum has like some charm to it, but just call it Down for Love. Like,
like it would have been Downs for Love. That would have been funny. Like,
you've got to be fucking kidding. I thought it was like a parody. No, it's real. But like the thing that fucked me up is they went on a date and they're filming them. And one of the girls like kind of had a moment and had an episode and had to leave. And then the guy just had to like be there alone. And then he like paid for the day, had to like get out of his car and like pay for it. I'm like, are you guys not even paying for the studio? The producers aren't paying for their fucking meal even. So it felt like they're being, you know, it just kind of feels like a kind of a sideshow. Like they're making fun of them. I didn't see it. And I'm a soulless piece of shit and I feel that way. So imagine how people with half a heart should feel. I don't know. I have the hardest time finding anything to watch even. Cause I think I have Netflix and maybe I think Disney. I don't know what I fucking have you. And I just can't. I can never find anything I even want to watch anymore.
Nah, yeah. We have
crime stuff.
I was like, I got the opposite problem. My girlfriend's dad pays for like all the streaming services.
Yeah.
And so it's like I just pay for Netflix, but I got everything, bro. And so I'm like, most people will be like, oh, I'll spend 20 minutes on Netflix picking something to watch. It's like we'll spend 20 minutes picking which streaming service to open. Yeah. Like I'll be done eating. I'm like, oh, did we decide on Hulu? Like, what's the plan?
Yeah. Like we've even opened Plex and Tubi. You know, we go in deep cuts. Oh, fuck yeah. All right, Bill, what about you? What do you got going on this week?
This week, what is today?
The sixth.
Stuff you want to talk about this week.
Let me see. This week.
Oh, we lost.
Hold on, I'm looking at my calendar. This week I got the Empire Comedy Festival at Upstage.
Oh yeah, yeah. For stuff you wanted to talk about this week, I mean, what do you?
Oh, my bad.
You're good.
Like, what do you mean?
Did you have anything you wanted to bring up, talk about on the episode?
Oh, like on the news?
Yeah, yeah.
Like current events stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's all the same stuff. I saw Diddy got off the Big Beautiful Bill. There's the flooding. That's probably not good. Oh, I saw that the hot dog eating contest, the Nathan's hot dog eating contest, this one of the women that placed, Madison Barnes, she got disqualified for urges contrary to swallowing.
My girlfriend has that same problem.
Her DMs immediately blew up as soon as that message.
Yeah, right?
What?
Like, I was like, that's the same reason I disqualified my ex, but they don't want to say throwing up, but I thought that was funny.
So wait. So she got disqualified because she was throwing up?
Yeah, because you got to hold the food down until they present the awards. And in between the time the contest was over and before they presented them, she had urges contrary to swallowing, and so she got disqualified.
That's the craziest way to say that. Just say you're eating. You just ate 87 hot dogs. If you say that lady puked, I'm not going to be surprised.
Right.
Like that's not going to be the part that I'm still more grossed out about how many hot dogs she ate. I'm grossed out she didn't puke sooner. You know.
Right.
So it's, you said as they have to hold it until they win the award. So they'd rather than you throw it backstage before getting the trophy, you get the trophy and immediately throw up on the guy handing you the trophy. Be like, you already gave it to me. I made it. Yep. I ran the clock out.
Yeah.
The trophy should just be like a bucket you can puke in.
Pretty much. Yeah,
yeah, right. You know, it should be a bucket. Yeah.
You know what they should do is they should make the opposite of this with like anorexic girls, right? And have them eat a bunch, and then whoever throws up the most, we'll do like a water displacement test, right? And whoever throws up the most and rises the water the most, they win. We're like, you're the best at being emotionally unstable. Yeah. You're the best.
Go the opposite direction. Be like, all right, whoever throws up last wins the money. And then you just got two girls worried about like, I can't weigh more than 98 pounds, just staring at each other over a trash can. Eight other girls already threw up in.
Yeah, this is real content. These Love on the Spectrum people could take a note from that. But then, yeah, you know,
we're fighting their eating disorder actually. So really, we're doing them a favor.
Yeah, no, we're just bringing attention to a problem. What else did you mention? Oh yeah, the floods. That's crazy. The floods were crazy. I didn't want to, but the instinct in me and being a piece of shit again did force me to write a couple jokes about it.
it's a writing exercise. That's all it is.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I was like, you know, it's a tough thing to make funny, but here goes. I'm going to try. So there were, you know, the recent floods in Texas took 62 lives, but still didn't manage to kill more people than Hillary Clinton has. So I did find it ironic that a week after Governor Abbott signed to make the devil's lettuce legal, we had apocalyptic flooding in Texas. not ironic. The Christian girls camp that was swept away, very sad, very sad. They called it the worst remake of Noah since Darren Aronofsky. So there you go. That's my three jokes on a great tragedy in Texas. So
all right, Bill, go.
But yeah, that was, I mean, God, what'd they say? Like 62 people, I think now they're at have died.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So
yep. Yeah, we were supposed to go do the recovery center up there in Center Point with Bobby, but it got canceled, obviously.
It was nice. But what I thought was crazy is there were people who I know who also live in San Antonio who are messaging me asking me if I was okay. And I'm like, we live like a mile and a half apart. Like, what do you think is happening at my house that's not happening at your house right now? Like, I don't live in Kerrville, you know? Yeah. You know where
I'd be paranoid. I'd be like, did you see my car floating down the street or something? Like, yeah. Do you know something I don't know?
Like, I waved when I floated by. So, yeah. It is crazy. I mean, I don't know if any of you guys saw any of the videos, but of the water rising, it's just like a wall of water. It's nuts, you know?
Oh, dude, yeah. Like, I'm a plumber, so believe me, I'm one of the few people who's like, no, you don't fuck with water. Water will fuck you up every single time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that's what happens when the Jews control the weather. they're like, we're going to get you, Texas. Yeah, and Diddy, what else was it? Diddy got off. Diddy got off. He's getting off again, I'm sure. He just keeps going. Mm-hmm. Do we think that he actually, how much of this do we think he was like, I mean, he was a freak, right? But how much of this did he do that was illegal, do we think?
I mean, he brought prostitutes over. That was illegal, but I mean...
Yeah, I mean, spirit of the law, letter of the law. You know, it wasn't like they were... You know, it's not like they were, like, underage. It wasn't like Epstein shit. They were, you know, probably...
Yeah, I don't think so.
I imagine they were very well compensated. He's not bringing over, like, $50 hookers off Figueroa Street. He's got...
Yeah, no, there was definitely an NDA involved in that.
Like, he's just... Yeah, he's just weird. Like, that's it. Like, I don't think it was that big of a deal. Like, I even think Cassie was in on it. Like, she was down for that.
Yeah.
Like, that was, she was into that kind of scene.
I mean, to be fair, he did beat the shit out of her in the hallway of that hotel room. You know,
he did.
But also, you know, we don't know what happened in that hotel room. Maybe she fucking, you know,
called his mama
fucking
bitch.
Fucking turned off the ET.
How many times do I have to tell you that's not where your finger goes?
to me, it sounds like it goes everywhere for Diddy. It sounded like. But it is funny too, because like every guy who's ever hated Diddy and was like, "I told you that motherfucker was gay," just But it is one of those things though, where you just another example of like where you realize that the people who are in power wield that power in such a maniacal way. You know, like it's just. Whether it's him, whether it's Harvey Weinstein in Hollywood and among other people in Hollywood, whether it's political elites, it's Epstein. Like, if you have some money and some juice, you fucking get into some weird shit. It's gonna happen.
Yeah, but they get bored with normal shit, you know? Like, they get bored with what the rest of us have to... Like, we have normal sex, like, however often a day. Like, they're fucking the most gorgeous women in the world.
Jeez, however often. Jesus Christ, man.
However often. But, like, they're banging the most gorgeous women in the world. Like, they've had everything ever. Like, they need something new, you know? Like, I've been jerking off for 35 years, and I'm fucking bored of it. I gotta try new shit. Like, imagine that level.
Yeah.
The thing that always gets me, though, is how the conspiracy theories always go, like, the world's most rich and powerful pedophiles. I'm like, hang on, you're saying that once people can afford anything, the only thing they want is to have sex with kids? Remind me not to bring my nieces by your house. Like, yeah. I think that you making that accusation about everybody says more about you than any of the people you're pointing the finger at, buddy.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, like with Epstein, the pedophile thing really is there is that like they think that he was using it as like blackmail. Like a lot of these people were having sex with people who weren't like clearly underage, but they were underage and like kind of, you know, you're partying, you think these girls are maybe of age, and then it's like revealed, oh, she's 16 or she's 15, you know, just and then they're using these tapes to like blackmail them for power and stuff like that. So which is, I mean, that's about as diabolical as you can get. So I don't know. But it is why, have you guys ever heard that old rumor? You guys know who Richard Gere is?
Yeah.
So there used to be a rumor that like he had shoved a gerbil up his ass at one point, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Bill's probably old enough to remember this. Wally, I don't know if you've ever heard this. It was like an old urban legend thing that everyone across the country...
I knew Eminem rapped about it. I know that much.
Yeah, there you go. So, like, it's one of those weird things, too, where, like, everyone knew about it. It was one of those things that went viral before the internet existed, which is weird. Like, how did everyone know about it before... we were all connected in this way. So, everyone says, yeah, it's not true or whatever. It's just a, you know, urban legend or whatever. And I always say, I'm like, I don't know. Because here's why I think maybe it's true. Because at the time, Richard Gere was at the height of his powers, one of the most handsome and revered guys in Hollywood. He was dating Cindy Crawford, who was... you know, at the time, considered one of the hottest, you know, women in the world. It's like, at that point, where do you go sexually, right? Like, you know, what else do you got on the table? You've done it all. So to think that someone like that would be like, oh, yeah, maybe I fucking got this gerbil. Got a little bit of got a little bit of cheese. Shove it up there, see what happens. Like, it's like, yeah, maybe. At that point, I'm like, you know, maybe he's just got to figure out If it's, you got to, well, yield if you like that or not.
Yeah, maybe. But what else did he try before he got there? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, did he skip pegging? Like, did he just gerbil?
Just went right to gerbil. Yeah. Well, I started with a small Pomeranian. I knew immediately that was too large. You know. Then I went to a a horny toad lizard, and that just was didn't feel right. The reptiles needed something a little fluffier. So, but just imagine
the amphibians were a little slimy.
Yeah, you can only so
became pre-lubed.
So anyway, it's crazy. Who knows? All right. Moving on. Let's see. Okay. I do want to talk about this because I've talked about it with someone, so I have to yell on it about it on my podcast. Have either of you guys seen the new Jurassic Park?
No, but I've seen your opinions on Facebook.
Do either of you guys plan on seeing it?
I will now.
Not after seeing your opinions on Facebook.
Okay. All right. So you guys don't mind some spoilers?
Yeah, go ahead.
Light spoilers.
Wait, hang on. Do the dinosaurs escape?
Yeah, there's this. I don't know if you know. They go back to the island, and shocking, things go awry. So doesn't work out exactly as planned. So it's like, first of all, like this movie, I heard this movie was coming out like 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, wait a minute, another Jurassic, like there was zero marketing for this movie, you know? And I'm like, usually you see some sort of promo, they're advertising it on Facebook, somewhere I'll hear about it, you know? And like, it was like, hey, new Jurassic Park comes out in 2 weeks. I'm like, 2 weeks? Like, I didn't even know they were filming this thing. So that's a bad sign to begin with. And then I see the trailer for it. And here's the trailer. Jurassic Park logo. Picture of Scarlett Johansson walking. Picture of another guy walking. Dinosaurs. Picture of Scarlett Johansson. End of the trailer. No one said a word even. And I'm like, I go, what is this movie about? And like, it had no information of what the actual plot of this movie was at all. And I'm like, I can only imagine the producers are just like, hey, it's fucking Jurassic Park, you know, idiot. Jurassic, where you? What's it about? It's about Jurassic Park. Yeah, but what's happening? Jurassic Park is what's happening.
Dinosaurs.
I'll tell you. Yeah, there's dinosaurs. Okay.
Look, this is the eighth one. You know what's going to happen,
yeah,
all right?
Yeah. It's like, did we mention Scarlett Johansson's in it? Okay. So this movie, I was so mad from the opening scene of this movie. The plot of this film partly hinges on the fact that in a multi-billion dollar bio lab with containment units and redundancies and hazmat suits and hydraulic doors and all these chambers to make sure everyone's perfectly clean, some bioengineer is sloppily eating a Snickers bar and just discards the wrapper on the ground, which happens to ghost blow through several doors following him into this one containment unit and then gets stuck in a hydraulic door in a multi-billion dollar lab, and the door gets stuck and won't shut from a Snickers bar wrapper. This is what professional screenplay writers wrote on a piece of paper, handed it to producers.
Like exposed wiring.
Yeah, just I'm like a Snickers. They're like, fuck it, it's a Snickers bar wrapper. It gets stuck in a door. Who gives a shit? These fucking retards will watch anything. And they just fucking fail. And I'm like, this is the plot? This is how we're going to start this movie. And then it's just like, after that, it's just zero characterization, forced pathos to like make you care about, like there's a scene where Scarlett Johansson sits down with another character and they have like this protracted conversation about like facts in their life, because they're like, we're not going to actually like make these people human where you get to know them through these like traumatic experiences. We're just going to have this info dump of like 5 minutes where these people like, oh, do you remember your kids who you loved very much? Those kids you had? Shame what happened. And like no actual like real connection. And it's just, it is a complete mess. There's a family they save on a boat at some point, which does nothing for the fucking plot. They're just in the movie now, separate from them. Also, you're like, it is a complete mess, this movie. And it's killing at the box office.
Damn. Sounds terrible.
I don't understand what people are looking for in it does make me always, every time I watch a movie like this, it makes me want to quit every art I do. You know? Like,
God, or just be like, I'm putting way too much effort into this. This is why it's not working.
Yeah, what am I doing? Like, I could have wrote this, you know? I feel like they're just like, you know, some guy was probably like, hey, what's the dumbest way someone could break something? And someone was like high in the back. They just fucking, you know, they're coming out of their fentanyl trance. And they're like, I don't know, maybe a Snickers bar gets stuck in a hydraulic door and dinosaurs go crazy. And you're like, yeah, that'll work. Let's do that. It's insanity. It definitely does make me question everything I ever do artistically and want to quit everything, though.
Have you seen all the Jurassic Parks? Are you like a big fan of the series?
I mean, I've seen them all. I don't know if I'm a big fan. I think the original is still one of the, you know, best movies ever made.
Everybody, that is known as like, everybody talks about that as like one of the like perfect movies.
Yeah, it's, I mean, everything about it hits everything you want. It's great practical effects also, like instead of bloated CGI, it's like an original idea. The problem with movies like that is like you can't really make a good sequel because it's just the same plot every time. We convince people to go back to the island and things don't go well. It's like, that's it. They, you know, the first time it's interesting. The second time you're like, maybe it's your fault. You know,
exactly.
Stop going.
So I got a deal. I got a voucher to take a submarine trip to go see the Titanic. I think I'm totally going to do it, you guys.
Yeah, I think you should. It's what could go wrong?
Oh yeah, no, it's great.
Historically, that's gone perfectly for everyone.
Of course.
So, people. People don't. It's sad that like. You know, I love movies, but man, we just do not get good ones anymore. Everything is just the same crap, some rehashed thing, some sort of sequel or some sort of reboot or franchise, you know. Like the idea of a new concept is completely gone. Yeah, you know, we.
It's because that's risky. It hasn't proven that it can stand yet, and so it's like, why would I invest money in, you know, brand new idea one when I could crank out, you know, franchise number 10? That, oh my God, I can't believe that one, people are paying money to watch this. Two, anyone would go to this theme park.
Yeah.
Like how many times? Like, yeah, kind of like you said, it's like how many times do the dinosaurs have to escape before it's like, hey, do you want to go see dinosaurs? No, I'm good, bro.
Yeah, absolutely not. Nothing about that. You know, I mean, listen.
They should do like a parody where it's like, hey, are you going to kill yourself? We've got the perfect place for you. You're going to see some awesome stuff before you go. Yeah, go and check. Hey, you might find out you really want to live after all. And then at that point, it's CrossFit.
Yeah, that's at least an interesting take, you know. I guess to be fair, we should have known when they were on their 9th Fast and Furious movie that it was just over, right? Like that's when we should have known. That the game is, it's, there's no hope left.
Yeah, this is, yeah, when Paul Walker has more hologram appearances in the franchise than he does actual appearances in the franchise.
You know what I love about, I don't know how many of those movies you guys have seen.
I stopped at 4.
You stopped at 4. Bill?
I've seen the I don't know. I probably watched the first couple and then I watched 10.
Okay.
So I've seen a few.
I watched the first four for a podcast I did years ago. And then I watched the 10th one, I think, when I was in Mexico, which, by the way, a franchise you only have a cursory knowledge of, in a language you're not 100% fluent in, technically arguably better because I didn't know what the fuck they were saying, but also worse in ways. But here's, you know, at some point they became like borderline superheroes, you know, and like they just, you can't kill them and they're like secret agents. The funniest thing to do is go back and watch the first Fast and Furious movie because you forget what this movie was. What the original movie was like this just riffraff street gang that raced little Hondas and then they jacked semi-trucks to fence the items in the semi-trucks. And do you know what the semi-trucks were full of that they stole? DVD players. this was the plot of the first one. We steal DVD players and then we also use that money to gamble on this street racing. And then at some point you've got them fucking with a rocket on a tank shooting into space doing some secret agent undercover shit and you're like, this is the craziest character arc of anyone in the history of any medium ever.
Yeah, they're using a street racing car to take a military helicopter out of the sky. You're like, how does that even begin to work?
Yeah, they're outrunning a submarine in the Arctic in a fucking Hellcat Challenger. You're like, what is this movie? And how?
Don't even have chains on the tires.
Yeah, like also, do they ever look at each other and be like, remember when life was so simple and our hardest thing we had to do was steal DVD players out of the back of a truck in East LA? Oh, those were the days. Those were the days. Yeah. It's wild times out there in the Fast and Furious world. So
there's a new one, right?
I think so. There always is, yeah. Right?
And Paul Walker's in it.
Is he? They're bringing him back? What, are they reanimating his corpse? What are they doing?
I don't know exactly what they're doing, but he's in it.
Probably the same thing that did when, spoiler alert, they had Luke Skywalker on The Mandalorian. They're like, yeah, we'll just get some blonde guy. We'll CGI Paul Walker's face on him. We'll let him talk about family for 45 minutes.
Yeah, it'll only be vaguely terrifying.
Prince is going to have a cameo. It's going to be great.
That is wild that you can just be like, no, we're just going to, I mean, at least, you know, what's his name? Mark Hamill is a living person who can
potentially sign off on
consent,
it,
you know,
protest it.
Yeah. He can be vocalized whether he's for it or against it. But when they're like, also though, it's also weird to not just have him do it. You know, just be like, yeah, Mark, come on in. And, like, at least have him come in and, like, do some CGI over his face. It seems less weird then. But to just be like, yeah, we're just going to, from whole cloth, make this CGI fucking person that's in this movie now.
Yeah, I think Steve McQueen's going to play his dad in the next one.
This could be great. This could really be good.
I said that as a joke. It's gonna be like Fast 11, Paul's dad.
Yeah. I still think they really missed out. You know, I think for the ninth one, they should have called. They should have been. They go back in time to fight Hitler and called it Fast 9.
And then they could use the footage of Steve McQueen for the Great Escape. Yeah, there we go.
It all comes together. Let's see, where are we at on time? Oh shit, we're clocking along here. Wally, you got anything else before we get out of here today?
No, that's it, man. I mean, I don't got.
All right.
I got shows coming up, but I don't know when this is going to actually be put up. And I don't want to be like, oh, come to my show on the 22nd. Be like, all right, this aired the 7th of next month.
This will be out on Wednesday, the 9th. So anything after that, you shout it out. And tell people where to find you, too, on social media.
I'm sure I've got other shows. I don't know offhand. I only know I got a show. Actually, I have a show on the 9th. But other than that, I don't know what I got coming up. But yeah, Wally Llama Comedy on Instagram, Wally Milligan on Facebook, and my LLEGAN. I do have a Wally Llama Comedy page on Facebook, but you're going to see I haven't updated that in 2.5 years. So good luck finding me there. But yeah, I'm doing stand up. I'll be somewhere near you at some point. Just figure it out.
All right. And Bill?
I'll be at the Empire Comedy Festival at Upstage July 12th. And all my social medias are at Bill Williams Comedy. That's on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, at Bill Williams Comedy.
All right. All right, guys. We'll go check them out. Give them a follow if you're in the area. Check out one of their shows. If you're not in the area, come to the area and go to the shows, you pieces of shit. What are you doing? What are you waiting for? as for me, guys, again, go to deescomedy.com. Check out everything going across the network. Live shows, live dates. I've got a lot of stuff. A lot of live dates this summer I'm doing. And again, I'll be back in the Pacific Northwest doing shows all across Washington, Oregon. I think I've got some in Idaho and Montana also. And and go to inferno.earth for everything on the comic book. Kill Stand number 3 is coming out soon. Pre-orders are up. Kickstarter launching. And I will be in Odessa, Texas this weekend at the Odessa Geek Fest. So if you're in that area, stop by, say hi, and save me, because that fucking place sucks. Odessa's a piece of shit town. I've had them.
What are you talking about? They got dust and they got wind. What else do you need?
Yeah. Yeah, when Midland makes you, when you have to look good compared to Midland, you're not, you know, it's not a good place. Last time I was there, I did a show. This is indicative of how well my career is going. I did a show in Midland a while back, and I stayed at like, there's this, the only hotel I could find was this shitty fucking, I don't know what it was, fucking just some shitty hotel. And when I checked into the hotel, the guy in the room next to me was standing outside the door with the door open, smoking a cigarette, watching the TV from outside, right? Fine, no big deal. Hey, how you doing? Go in. Change, get ready, go to the show. On our way to the show, guy still outside smoking, watching TV. Finally, live your life, guy. You gotta do your thing. The next, when I get home, get back to the hotel, he's still there, out standing outside smoking, who's watching, whatever. I go to bed. I wake up next morning, 8 o'clock to leave, drive home. He's out there smoking again already. And he goes, right on. He goes, you off to work? And I go, and I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, you headed to work? And I'm like, no. I'm like, I'm headed home. I'm like, I go, oh, I don't live here at this hotel. I have another home I'm leaving to. This isn't the place. Like, I don't rent this room by the week. This is a one-time thing. I'm fucking out of here. I will never be here again. Anyway, Odessa, I love you. Hope to y'all come out this weekend.
Great people.
Good.
Y'all suck, but hey, come buy my comic book. You don't got anything else going on. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, the people are fine. The city sucks. It's a piece of shit place. Come on. I'm not wrong. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to get out of here for this week, guys. We appreciate everyone hanging out. Again, go check out Wally and Bill. Follow them on social media. Like, follow, subscribe, all that good stuff. Check out a show. And if you don't see them on their shows, I'm sure you probably see them on one of mine soon, I'm sure. These are the guys I work with regularly. So, that's it for the Social Hour. I've been Deese. And for Bill and Wally, thank you very much, guys. And we will see you all next week.